Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to him, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all he does, faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Fields are now ready. The harvest is almost near. The seed has been planted for every nation to hear. The season is turning right. The time is drawing close. Soon our Saviour will come, but the hour no one knows. The word has gone out. The desert rose is abloom. In God's heavenly mansion, there's still plenty of room. The soil has been prepared. The sacrifice has been made. The time is running out for lost souls to be swayed. The showers have increased. The outpouring is on the rise. And the day Jesus comes will be twinkling in our eyes. The message of hope continues. It will to the very end. Still we don't know how much longer the time God plans to extend. As Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour, no man knows, not the angels of heaven, but my Father alone. Well, may that spur us in our prayers and our thoughts for our world at this time. We can despair very easily, throw our hands up in the air. What is going on? Perhaps we ought to just bring those hands together and continue to pray for the harvest that God, that the Lord has promised.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more productive. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Nothing can you bear fruit, neither can you bear fruit, unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. Amen.
Thank you, Les. Thank you.
The fruit will be healthy on the branches. Through the branches, that life is passed. What a great picture that is of the church. The Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Every believer is connected personally to Jesus through their faith. And through Jesus, connected to one another. So you get those branches on the that grow on the vines, and they put them on frames, don't they, so they grow straight. You've seen the thing. We grow grapes in this country now. And they're all connected. Because of the vine, they are connected together. Well, the Spirit, spiritually, we know Jesus says, "I am the vine." More of that in a moment. We know there is no problem with the vine. He is perfect. So what of the fruit on the branches? Because that's you and me, isn't it? That's what's being seen in our lives. That's the challenging part. If we are connected, then this life, the life of Jesus, will shine through, will be seen, and we will be fruitful. Not we may be, we will be fruitful because of who the vine is. I was saying to Stan in the vestry earlier on, I have quite a lot of pages of notes here, but when I just really came to sort of think this, I just wrote down just a few words on a piece of paper. I don't normally do this, but I'm really tempted just to go with my few words. You're with me on that, aren't you? Just give us a few words, Pastor. We don't want all the other bits. "I am the true vine," said Jesus. "My Father is the gardener. I am the vine," says verse 5. "You are the branches." Think about the vine. Think about Jesus. And remember, he didn't say, what do you think? I'm a bit like a vine. I am. I am the vine. Hear the power in those words. Elsewhere, the I ams, we know in John's Gospel, come thick and fast, don't they? They are not up for questioning. There's no discussion about it. They are statements, declaration statements of God to his people. I am the vine. The power of the I am. The privilege, though, for you and for me, you are the branches. That we should be connected to the Holy One, the One who is all-powerful, almighty, pure and perfect in all his ways. Oh, the privilege of that. And then the fruit that we will produce, the provision, that we can abide, and more than that, we can abound, as well as abiding, with fruitfulness, as those verses go on to say. You know, interestingly, this passage begins with Jesus thinking about his own relationship with the Father. "I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. What I am doing, how I am growing myself, is for his glory." It's, you know, what's in the garden reflects on the gardener, doesn't it? And Jesus saw himself, yes, as the true vine, compared to vines that had gone before representing God's people. No, the true vine, the one to follow, the one sent by the Father, the one to bring glory to the Father in what he does, in the way he gives life to those connected to him. So Jesus' life, yes, was a life of power, but also it was a life of responsibility, wasn't it? Doing what the Father sent him to do. A life that was so fruitful on every page, on every day of Jesus' life. He went from one place to another doing good. He went here, there and everywhere. Miracle, miracle, miracle. And even where there weren't miracles because of the stubborn resistance of the people, there was still work being done. Fruits aplenty. And here in John 15, Jesus says to his disciples and says to you this evening in Rochford Congregational Church, "I'm the vine and you are the branches." What a privilege. You are the branches. Now he says this to his disciples and he talks about how they are clean because of what he said to them. You and I, we are clean because of what he did for us at Calvary. That's right, isn't it? The shedding of his blood cleansing us from our sins. We are part of the vine. We are branches in this vine, made clean and ready to be fruitful through our faith in him. There's a chorus I learned at, I think I learned it at Bible college, and I'm not sure when I came here at first we knew it, and we don't sing it very often, so you, even if you thought you knew it, you may have forgotten it. I live, because he is risen. You know that song?
Yes.
Yeah. I live with power over sin. I live, because he is risen. I live to worship him. The life within us is from him. We die to ourselves, but we are attached to the vine. And so as branches, that life, the life of Jesus flows through us. The Spirit of God is in us, with us, within us. Now, as I say, the connection is made possible through Calvary. The abiding is possible because there, the believer is made holy. And so is able to be connected to the one who is the Holy One. Without Calvary, we could not approach, we could not get near. The branches would be cut off, were cut off, and fit for the fire alone. But now in Christ, in him was life. And because of that life, by his Spirit, that life is within us. Faith makes the connection of vine and branches. And faith draws upon Jesus' life as a branch draws upon the life of the vine. The branch is only a branch when connected to the vine. Otherwise, it's a stick. A dried stick fit for the fire. But in Christ, because of that connection, there is life. There is all that we need to abound with spiritual fruit. We need to be connected. That's what those verses speak about. We need to remain. We need to abide. I was going to use a Brexit illustration, but I'm not going to go there. All right? Good. Good, I hear you say. You can't wait for the 1st of November or whenever. But to remain. No, I'm not. I said I wasn't going to use it. No, all right, away from that. When the branch remains, it draws from the vine. It takes that which the vine gives. To abide is vital, isn't it, in the Christian life, in our world, in this crazy world. Where can we turn? Who should we turn to? Well, we just need to keep abiding in Christ, keep drawing upon him for everything and in everything that we do. Because in abiding in him, we draw upon him to produce the fruit of the Spirit that we need so much in our world and so much in our lives. Yes, it might be the fruit of long suffering, but hopefully it's also the fruit of joy and peace, the fruit of love in our loveless world. Now, it's interesting that Jesus speaks in just those first 8 verses about the need to abide in with his words, or to let his words abide in us, in our hearts. To guard against sin, I've hidden your word within my heart. Let his word abide in your hearts. We can flourish in fellowship with him and our fellow branches when we share together his word, when we read the word together. We sing God's word, sing psalms, sing spiritual songs, as it says in Ephesians, as we live in that environment of the positive, growing in the positive things of God's word. I know, because I've been here long enough, God's word, the words of our Lord Jesus, mean so much to us, don't they? That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear anything else. We want to hear his words. And we want that word in our hearts. We want to be like a stick of rock where you break the rock, and in it, the words of Jesus are all the way through us. What we do because of what Jesus has said, because of his word. We apply it to every and any situation. Let his word abide in your hearts. Jesus speaks about my words and the importance of those words. And he speaks to his followers and says, you're my disciples. We don't just want to hear the words, we want to obey and follow his words. The words that come in must lead to works being worked out. No blockages, so that the fruit can be abundant. And I thought about this, and I thought, how's the best way to look at this? And I thought, well, I'll give you three examples, three people you know well. I'm not going to do a big character study on these people, you know them. The first is Peter. Jesus says of Peter here in John 15, you are clean. I've made you clean through my words. Yet we know within chapters he will deny his Lord. And he'll need pruning, won't he? He'll be restored, but he'll need that bit of old Simon Peter cutting away. For he denied his Lord. But of course, how fruitful then does Peter become? On the other side of Pentecost, as Jesus' life by the Spirit flows through that branch, how fruitful, 3,000 and more on the first day and beyond. So there he was, made clean, starting out, but he messes up. He gets it horribly wrong. I'll never deny you. Three times. And then those three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It was a pruning. It was a cutting back. But notice, pruning is not cutting off. It's just cutting back. And Peter is able then to go on. Tell my disciples and Peter is Jesus' instruction. Get him back on the team. Get him up the front. And the fruit was seen in his life. So there's an example of the connection, if you like, of Peter to the Lord, and then how he had to be dealt with to be more fruitful. What about Thomas? You know his story. He goes absent without leave, AWOL. Everybody else is there, but where's Thomas? Had he lost connection? Well, certainly he'd had a bit of a blockage on what was going on. He was not being fruitful. He was not being faithful. He was away doing what he was doing. But again, restored to minister widely as an apostle. The life of Thomas was brought back on track, wasn't he? When he saw Jesus, when he was brought near again, connected with Jesus. And then the Spirit of God filled him at Pentecost with the others. And the rest, as they say, is history. But what about the man who wrote John's Gospel, John himself? He, of course, stays at Jesus' side, doesn't he? Even to the very cross, where he becomes the son for Mary and Mary the mother for John. There's that intimate moment. He runs away, in a sense they all did, but he is there at the cross. He is part of and records well for us what happened. By the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, though, he's on the Isle of Patmos. We've been looking at this a little bit in our Bible study in Revelation. He receives revelation. He receives the fruit of long suffering. He's the one that keeps going on when others have gone before him. And he serves his master to the end. So here is one who was not blocked and had a pruning time at the beginning. But his fruit comes later and longer. Don't you just see how the Lord is the vine for all these men? And how he brings fruit into their lives in different ways. And he does the same for you and for me in the things that we go through. Through our faith in him, he draws out more faith. That life to be more fruitful. That the fruit of the Spirit might be seen more and more in us. Well, it's harvest time, and the challenge has to be put out there for you and for me this evening. Are we abiding and are we abounding? What are we like as branches? What are we bearing as fruits? Are we taking time to abide? Another year goes by. Don't these years go by quickly? Don't weeks fly by? There's only 52 of them in a year. Before you know it, you're round here again. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. We need his life. We need his power. We need his strength if we are to be fruitful. What is your life producing? More than last year? Are you drawing upon Jesus deeper, in a greater way, for more of his love, more of his power, more of his grace, whatever it is you need? The Lord is there. He wants the branches to abound, to be fruitful, more fruitful, with greater fruit to the Father's glory. Let me conclude by just ending where perhaps I started. Jesus said, I am the vine. Remember, that's a divine title. It's not an if, but maybe. It's a declaration, a divine declaration. We have the greatest, strongest vine, the true vine. The provision we need is there for all of us to draw upon. I hope you believe that. That we're not some little struggling cause and the branches are shriveling up, because there's nothing wrong with the vine. He is pure and perfect and mighty and powerful. It's just, are we drawing upon him as we should be? Make this harvest a day of dedication, an evening of dedication now, where you say simply to the vine, make me fruitful, Lord, for the glory of the Father. More and more fruit, whatever it is. As I say, perhaps we would all love more love, joy and peace, but it may be those patience, it may be those other sorts of fruits that need to grow as well. But Lord, it has to be you, your life in me, in everything that I do. Coping with situations, witnessing to neighbours and friends. It has to be you, Lord. It has to be your life in me. And you are the greatest, the strongest, the true vine. I am the vine, the true vine. You are the branches. Take that to heart, folks. Let's go forward in faith together. Amen. Lord, seal your word in our hearts by your Spirit, that that word might run deep within us, that we might always seek to be abiding in you and indeed being fruitful because of that abiding in you. Lord, forgive us where we've not been all we should have been for you. Lord, cut back anything that is not of you. And Lord, produce, Lord, that which will glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to gather this afternoon and evening in this way. Thank you for sweet fellowship with one another and with you. Continue to bless us now as we part and go our separate ways. Keep us abiding personally with you until we can meet again together and refresh our hearts one with another. Thank you that you are the vine, the true vine. Thank you, there's no one like you. And thank you for that connection through Calvary. We draw upon it again and again. Keep us, Lord, close and keep us going on with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps you join with me. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.